Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're about to listen to a podcast full of wonder, excitement, and discovery. It's time for an Adventure Through Odyssey. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Adventures Through Odyssey podcast, Odyssey Revisited. I'm Will here with John. We're going to continue through Fundamentals. We hope you enjoyed last week's episode, and we do apologize that we had to re-upload it because I bungled the audio editing the first time. But yes, we did decide to keep the name Noah's Nudity because nobody said it was bad.
What's up with this audio problems lately, Will?
Well, I just bought new headphones and I had to calibrate them correctly.
Intriguing.
Yes. All right. First episode, Let This Mind Be In You. While Wit is gone for a few days, Connie tries to become just like him, but fails in various ways.
Has this always been the name of this episode?
Yes.
Because I remember this episode, when I saw the name of this episode, I was like, what the heck episode is this?
Wait, did you not listen to the episodes again?
No, I did listen to the episodes. What I said was, I remembered this episode, but when I saw the title to go listen to it, I didn't know what it was. Like, usually if someone says the Odyssey title, I probably have a good idea of what it is, but...
Okay, yeah. So, I liked it. I still do like this episode. I think there's a little too much reliance on the visual of Connie dressing as Mr. Whitaker, that maybe this should have been a video so we could have seen it.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Right.
However, and this is something I've noticed...
Odyssey really, at this point in time, liked their talking about a visual joke. Which it's
yes, they did.
Dressed as Wit is funny. Like, it's a funny idea. But at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, this would be funnier to see it.
I would agree. I will also say, because there's a lot of Connie and Eugene have to work together in Wit's End episodes in this kind of year of the show, and I tend to get them mixed up, so I had to write my notes. This is the one where she messes up telling the story of Jacob wrestling with the angel, gives Jimmy bad advice, and Eugene tries to repaint the Bible room.
The repainting the Bible room is fun. I feel like it's kind of just an interesting like thing for Eugene. They're like, Eugene says, I'm going to paint the room a different color. But I feel like it would make more sense for him to be like, oh, Mr. Whitaker wanted to, like, fix this thing.
I would agree. I think they're still trying to figure out what Eugene's character is.
That's fair. I feel like with Connie, I will say this. With the Connie and Jimmy thing, I've always liked that. I always like when they reference another episode.
Yes.
And so I like that it's like, oh yeah, that did just happen a few weeks ago.
I agree, and again, between this and the bike, I feel like Jimmy at the arcade is a through line throughout this entire album.
Yeah.
But one thing I would say is, I'm not saying Donna needed to get in trouble. She was kind of the one egging Jimmy on to
ask
not
about
tell
it.
Her his parents. Yeah.
Well, that part maybe didn't come out.
Well, that could be true.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, if I were Jimmy, I'd have no problem throwing Donna under the bus for...
I need, like, an Odyssey age chart constantly. Because I assume at this point in time, they envision Connie to be, like, 16, 17, maybe.
Right.
And I just wonder how old, like, some like Donna is. Like, Donna, I would assume, is at least in middle school.
Honestly, I don't know. I would assume you're right.
I guess, though, I always think, like, well, it's like a junior high getting advice from a high schooler. But there's a big difference. I guess junior hires did look up to high schoolers. High schoolers can look very more mature than, especially in the 80s. Have you seen those videos, Will, of like teenagers in the 80s who look like adults?
Yes, I have.
So maybe it's just in my school where all everyone looked like little people, like little puny high school junior hires.
Yes. Now, and a fun fact about this episode. So, Connie cannot unplug the Bibleverse mirror because it's wired into the wall, seemingly foreshadowing a bite of applesauce when they had Wit tells Eugene he's wired every invention at Wit's End to Mabel.
That I didn't even think about that, though. That's very true. That could have been a reference to it.
So, because we're only a few episodes away from it at this point.
Yeah. That does seem like a safety hazard, though.
I do agree. Like, I feel like if the health code were to show up, or the health department,
Yeah.
someone went, "Hey, wait, you gotta have these things to be able to unplug."
Right, like these complex inventions that can start like smoking, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And maybe it was because our mother was such a detail person. Why did Wit not read the list over with Connie and Eugene?
I know, it seems. Well, it seems weird. And then they're like, they totally forgot about the list. But like, I mean, I guess that's understandable, but right, if he's just like, make sure you do like these few things.
Yeah, don't feed him milk. Oh.
I see.
But truly, it's a good episode. It's a good message. I think it just would work better as a visual story.
I agree.
All right, a good and faithful servant. The Barkley family tries a new budget.
This is
Well,
no, go
please
ahead.
go ahead.
No, please, you go.
Okay, I guess I'm just curious. Did this episode get released? Because I can't find any information about it on the wiki. With like a little booklet so families could do this by themselves, because they give a lot of detail to it.
Yeah, this really it really seems like it's supposed to be like a super like practical like specific episode. I mean, maybe it was envisioned to have this along with like a thing, and maybe that never happened, like a little booklet or that they could sell it individually. I mean, I feel like this just, I mean, it's nice that they have the kind of stereotypical like children's show budgeting plot line, but having a Christian
Yes.
spin to it. But
I would agree with that.
at the same time, it's kind of like stuff like this is so often done.
Yes. I would also say, I'm not saying they need to go into deep depth about the budget, but like apparently they can't go on vacation one year because of this budget.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like they can never really decide, is this just how the kids are doing the allowances, or is this how the whole family is supposed to be operating?
It is interesting, especially because it's like, you know, the Barkley families will obviously have money issues later in the show.
Yes.
But it's not like the money issue, it's like the budget's driven from money issues here. It's more just like, oh, how else are we supposed to get money from you? Although somehow Jimmy had like 50 bucks.
I guess if he like saved up his birthday money and he found some money under his bed.
Well, like, right, I think he said some birthday money, but like, where did that money under the bed come from?
I would agree with that. It's a good question, especially if we're coming in the same album as that episode.
Yeah. I do wonder about the end a little bit. Like, obviously, it's good
Yeah, I was about
Donna gave her money.
To say, this is the one thing I'm a little perplexed by.
Yeah. Well, because
Not perplexed, but
the whole thing's about saving your money and you and like a whole thing is like budgeting your money for things that you want, but then it's like, no, we should give our money away to the poor, which is true. We should give our money away to good causes and to the church. But it's also kind of then like her dad pays for the thing she would have spent the money on anyway.
well, it's a mission trip, so I'm sure Focus thought that was okay.
Right. It's like, I totally understand it. It's just like, it's a good feel-good end, but because the story's more focused on budgeting aspect and making, I mean, it's also about making good use of your money, but kind of the budgeting aspect thrown out the window at the end. A little, I guess Jimmy budgets, but it's such little bit about what Jimmy's doing with the money when it's way more about Donna.
Again, it's a Donna-centric-ish episode that everybody else has to play a role in.
Yeah. I do like this. Sorry.
No, I was going to say, I think the ending does kind of lean into parents, if your kids spend money on a good cause, you can pay for that mission trip for them.
Well, yeah, and that's not bad. I don't think it's bad. I just guess I would have rather had the episode be more about using your money for, I mean, and it's like about being good stewards of the gifts you're given, but it's at the same time, it is
Yes.
kind of, there's kind of two different things going on, which I don't, it definitely leans towards, which they should, towards being good stewards of money and giving your gifts back to be used and used for God. But yeah.
Right. I just want to point out, though, and this is not me saying you shouldn't donate more than this. They do have a tithe envelope. So it's
Yeah.
not like they weren't giving money to the church. I'm not saying they shouldn't have, ex they should have admitted that. I'm just
Yeah.
pointing it out. Although, and according to this episode, where is it? The financial plan they go on is based on the Ron Blue book, Money Matters for Parents and Their Kids.
Interesting.
So just thought I'd point that out. So, today this would have been a club episode and the dude would have shown up to talk about money.
Yeah. It would have been like they gone to the school or like the church and talked about it. It would have been the spurring point.
Oh yeah. All right, the greatest of these. Robin Jacobs is struggling with her school partner, Oscar Peterson.
I was thinking this is so soon after the Bible study episode.
Well, I agree, but you also have to remember the Bible study comes into play here.
Right. I guess I always thought it was a little later. I think this is a really good episode, especially I think it deals with it gets heavy, but has a good balance of the heaviness and comedic aspects.
Yes.
I think it also makes a really good point with Robin, and basically Robin gets mad and then she finds out there's a problem with Oscar, and Whit's just like, why? Oh, now that you find out he has a problem, you thinks it's poor Oscar versus.
Agreed.
Especially
No, I
because.
appreciate they bring that up.
Especially because, right, it was just like he turned it the wrong way. Like the little dial.
Oh, yeah.
Which isn't that big of a. It could have been far worse. And right, some people just aren't as good at school. Like they could have done some things that are like, oh, this is horrendous, like what happened, but they choose this is a very manageable situation.
Yeah, I was about to say, right, it's just a little baking soda volcano going off throughout a wit's end.
Now, I will say
I'm
this.
reading.
I think
Yes.
what a horrible teacher they have. That
In.
the teacher has, because it's the spurring point of the spelling bee, where the teacher's like the loser of the spelling bee has to do the other kid's homework for
That is
them.
pretty bad.
That's it. It's not just like, oh, you don't have to do your, the winners don't have to do their homework, which even then I would think would be a little unfair, but more understandable. But to be
Yes.
like, oh, these students have to actually write down the other person's homework. Like that's just like kind of cruel.
Yeah. No, I agree, especially because I don't mean this in a bad way. The kids who won this, who lose the spelling bee, are probably not the smartest kids in the class.
Right, exactly.
So, I agree with you on this one. It's a bit of a weird, I don't want to say twist of the knife, but certainly an interesting decision on their part.
Right, and what happens is it's like it goes to the person who got it wrong. It's like it's almost like a shaming thing. It's like, oh, we have to do this homework because of you, Oscar. I wouldn't be mad at the teacher because it's like, but that just,
Oh, yeah.
that's always rubbed me the wrong way that the teacher does it like that. I think, though, everything else in terms of like the stuff with Oscar and I think the stuff with Robin, I think all that's pretty played well. And I think it's a good message.
Yeah, I think it's a really good message. I'm guessing this is one of the early shows to talk about dyslexia. I could be wrong though. And I feel like this kind of starts the trend of Robin being semi-unlikable.
I mean,
I don't mean this in a bad way. Was gonna say, I feel like every episode she's in is kind of about her being a little.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Overbearing and having to learn a lesson.
Yeah, I will say that. I do think, and I think the voice, I don't think it's a voice actress. I think the voice actress does a good job, but they always do kind of paint Robin as like she's doing something almost worse than like the other kids, or like she's acting like the whole time, like being late episode.
Yes.
Like it's like, oh yeah, she's letting down her team, and like she's kind of making it's like, right. I feel like every oftentimes when she comes up, it's kind of like, well, this is like kind of bad.
I would agree.
I guess it's like maybe even they reference it like in the 50th anniversary, in the 50th album, they have her call in and they talk about how like almost she's like hot-headed
Oh yeah, they do, don't
because
they?
she's like a lawyer representing people and Connie like has this weird call with her.
Oh
And it,
yeah.
even the call itself is weird. Like, I've always thought that's weird. Like, that's how they viewed Robin as a character.
It's especially weird because Chuck Bolte's daughter voices Robin.
That's really weird.
So like I guess I'm glad no nepotism, but
Still, yeah.
and again, this is just like a running theme with Odyssey. They always pick one of the characters to kind of be the character who has to learn the lessons about them being too intense. Well, now they have three of them. So anyway, bad company. Connie attends a Bible study with a questionable leader, while Donna hangs out with a girl who might not be honest.
I will say this, I think this Donna episode has less to do with
Oh, you know what? You're
the
right. I'm sorry I said that last week, everybody.
family. Well, it's a trend where the Donna episodes tend to be, it's more like a Barkley family episode in a way. This one, though, is very
Yes.
Donna centric.
True.
You know, I find it funny that whenever times there's like a thing with like a friend where it's like, I don't know if this friend's like good to hang out with, it like turns like, oh, they're doing something real bad. Like, it's not like even something like, oh, that's kind of questionable. Like, it's very black and white. Like, oh, she was stealing stuff.
Right, it's not. Oh, maybe we're skipping church for the night or something.
Right. Or it's like, I made a fake ID and I'm hanging out with like older kids.
Well, that might turn into a little bit of a dark.
Right. But like it's kind of like, okay, like I mean, I'm people do steal and pickpocket. I'm not gonna lie about that, but I think it could be a more interesting nuanced episode of something more like more
I don't disagree with
subtle.
that.
Like, I think even the
Yeah,
Bible
one.
study is slightly better, but you know, even then it's still a
I mean,
little weird at times.
I'm sure a lot of people have been to weird Bible studies like that, but I do appreciate they actually bring back some of this false teaching stuff later when Connie helps Olivia through her faith crisis.
Yeah. Well, so
I mean,
like,
not directly, but you can tell she learned something from this episode and reapplied it.
yeah, like, I think I also think the Bible study, is a little like this seems like a very like specific denominational Bible study. But also like I think even having like a topic be like a Bible study that's not like you go to a Bible study and they may be teaching things that aren't related to Christianity. I think that's a harder idea for a kid to grasp necessarily. So I get that being a little more like bludgeoning, like what's a huge, just obvious glaring thing.
That I would agree with.
Like personally, I'd be like, well, I want it to be more subtle or something, but I'm also kind of like as an adult, but like as a kid, like a kid's probably never thought that like a Bible study or a Bible teacher would necessarily tell you something that's not in the Bible. So I do think you kind of have to be doing it not subtly works well.
Right. Oh, yeah. And so I have the two notes about Rachel in this episode. One, just at the end when she completely blows Donna off. So she's, is this like a new thing Donna didn't notice until this episode, or
Yeah.
just notable, like if she stole the earring, she had to know something was up. But then also they actually do mention in this episode Donna's been going through a lot the past year, assumedly Karen.
Yeah.
So
I think exactly.
I appreciate at least keep trying to thread that needle, although it was weird. We have a whole episode about Donna learning prayer doesn't always work and Karen doesn't come up.
Yeah.
So maybe they thought that would be too dark, but
Yeah.
all right, we're taking a break from fundamentals for a minute to go to the Imagination Station, parts 1 and 2. Digger Digwillow learns that the Bible isn't boring by the Imagination Station in the story of the crucifixion and Easter.
I like how, I mean, it is this thing he thinks the Bible's boring. I guess like it's just an interesting like preface it. They're like, well, if you think the Bible's boring, what if you were in the Bible?
True.
But I guess in some respects that's what the imagination station is this experience rather than reading it. However, besides that, great episode, classic.
Yes.
One of the few
You
episodes
know,
to essentially get directly remade.
it is true, but it's called Revisited, so it's at least from a different angle. But I do think one thing that kind of helps this episode a lot is they had already had a few Let's Tell the Bible Story episodes, and then they did the Imagination Station. So it's the Imagination Station fully formed in the way it is later in the show, except for that one part near the end where Whit comes on the microphone and talks to Digger.
Yeah.
Which,
That
I mean,
plays
to be
up a
fair,
few times, I think.
okay, yeah, it happened a few times, so I'll give them a pass on that one.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard because it's the story of Jesus.
Yes.
You know, it's very directly the story of Jesus. You know, probably what's going to be more interesting is when we talk about Revisited. When we compare
Yes.
like what they had in one version versus the other version.
You know what? That's a good point. We'll have to keep our notes.
Is this the first very clear conversion on screen of a child in the show? Or was there one in
No,
like
because Freddie Hart had one like in episode 19. To be fair, they cut away from them praying and then mentioned he became a Christian, so.
Got it.
But no, you're definitely right. So, yeah, I think this is good. I think it is interesting to me they picked such a heavy hitter Bible story as their first Imagination Station episode. Like, I would assume they would have picked something smaller.
I agree, and I think that, I mean, it gives credit that I'm sure they worked hard on this episode, that arguably the most important Bible story they do like the first time around
Yes.
and like hit it out of the park.
I would agree with that.
You know, there's some good humor at the beginning, but then it like, you know, it shifts to being more serious.
True. And that's another, because this is the first two-part Bible story, and I do agree with you. Part one's a little more light, and part two is where all the heavy stuff happens.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, the whole you know, the Easter story, like the whole week isn't necessarily heavy. You know, there's Palm Sunday, like the Last Supper. I
Right.
guess the Last Supper has some heaviness to it, but it also has some like it that's I never thought about, I guess, the Last Supper in terms of, the Last Supper is heavy. It is the last and somewhat foreboding, but also it's communion and the good things associated with that.
So yeah, a really good episode. An interesting break in the middle of all these fundamentals because it was probably around Easter at this time. So yeah, March 1989, I'm going to assume that was close to Easter. Hello?
Yeah, sorry, I'm trying to remember what each part is. The first part ends with them saying to crucify him, right?
Basically, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it is like sad. I mean, obviously Jesus dying is sad and then happy because he died, he like, died for our sins and we were able to live forever in heaven with him.
Yes.
It is heavy for a child to see that. I do wonder, like, I'm more saying this just because I think we need to talk a little more about this episode, given what it is. I always wonder, like, how censored is the imagination station?
That's a good
I
question.
have to assume this is like a PG level telling of the story, right?
Yes, I
Like
doubt.
he's on the cross, and obviously it's really sad, but I have to assume it's like,
Yeah, I don't disagree with this.
it can't be like Passion of the Christ level like intensity, or like when there's like war scenes. I have to assume like no one really gets shot, or if they get shot, there's no blood.
Agreed.
It's That's my own weird mind, but it's like, some of these stories are darker, and like actually seeing them would be very intense. So it's interesting they've like never touched on that, I feel like, in any, and maybe they have, that I'm forgetting, but never touched about like, wouldn't it, like Eugene even being like, wouldn't it be more graphic than that, Mr. Whitaker? It's like, Eugene, we're working with kids here.
Yeah, exactly. No, I agree with that. I'm sure that's kind of their way of hand waving that of, hey, we're not doing the bloody and gory version of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And I'm actually curious because this obviously gets moved to the next album because they want to have album four be all of the fundamental episodes. I know this was probably just written as an Easter special. It does play pretty well as a prologue to all the Blackguard stuff because, he basically blows up the imagination station.
Yeah. No, 100%. I wonder if they had the idea for the imagination station, and then I want, or they were like, we need something to blow up, or we need something he wants to get his hands on,
That could be true.
My guess is they did the imagination station. They're like, ah, we can use this great thing. He can like manipulate this great thing,
And then this is actually also the first episode to air on the Focus on the Family radio show before it aired as an Odyssey episode. I'm just curious what that means because it's only on part two. So did they only air part two, or did Dr. Dobson say, okay, for the next hour, we're going to give you a preview of Adventures in Odyssey, including the premiere of part two of our newest episode?
Maybe it could have been part two. I mean, because this is a very good, I would say, thing to put in the show. Because, I mean, you don't really need a ton of context for Odyssey. It's just like a kid experiencing the Easter story.
I would agree. And, they at least try to bring Digger back for one episode.
One episode that I feel like is quite far down the path. Am I wrong about that?
A little bit. Like, it's after all the Blackguard stuff, so.
Oh, I guess it's fairly recent. It's episode 82. I, for some reason, always felt like the heat wave episode where he comes back was like 30 or 40 episodes, like a year later at least, but I guess it's like 15 episodes.
Yeah, right. It is just interesting that he's a pivotal character in the in this first Imagination Station episode, but then doesn't stick around.
Exactly.
And he also creates Wonderworld.
I know, like, also really pivot, like, he's in two very pivotal things that would like recur, and then he just kind of
Yes.
gets dropped. And I wonder if that
Yeah,
was the
now he's
thing
just some kid.
with a voice actor or whatnot, but it is surprising they did like try. I mean, I guess like if his big his character's written to be like this guy who questioned, and then he had this big conversion and this big influential moment, and I wonder if they were like scared to have him have like other issues. It's like, but he experienced the Easter story, you know?
Right.
It's just
Yes.
it's curious to think about. Well, supposedly he voiced a ton of characters throughout the years, so.
Well, that I would believe.
So I don't. Oh, he apparent. I think he voiced Whit's grandson.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Because I
The
just
voice sounds
saw
familiar.
it was like he's in the Green Ring Conspiracy, and I was like, what?
Oh, they brought the voice actor back. That's interesting.
Yeah, but that he and acted in Disney sing-along song Zero to Hero and Peter Rabbit.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
That is
All
funny.
right, so that wraps so that wraps up this batch of six episodes. Next week we'll wrap up Fundamentals, and I think we start the Blackguarded stuff.
It probably will start coming up.
So yeah, we'll look forward to that. And next week when we get to it, we'll wrap up our thoughts on Odyssey's first attempt at like a themed lesson album.
Yeah, 100%.
And then probably by this point, because we're recording these ahead of time, the October roundup will also be coming, where we'll read the new comics and discuss Nox on Sacrifice.
Yeah, sounds
All
good.
right, I'm Will.
I'm John.
We'll see you next time.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.